Morning. Today is Sabbath day, June 27th of the year 2020. The title of today's message is Why the Law of Moses is Still Valid and in Force Today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I verily say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The law of Moses is the law of the living. It is called the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. It is the physical and spiritual embodiment of what it means to love God and love your neighbor. If you have your Bibles with you, please open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, which are exemplified and validated in the opening scripture of the sermon, which is what I read at the beginning of the sermon, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. The scriptures are woven seamlessly together, like Christ's garment or robe. That's John chapter 19, verse 23. The law and grace are united, as you cannot have one without the other. Samuel Bolton, a Puritan divine that sat on the body that comprised the Westminster Assembly, wrote a work titled The True Bounds of Christian Freedom, a book which I strongly recommend be read or listened to here on Sermon Audio, because I've done it and recorded it for you, by every single person that names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To quote Dr. Gerald Mick, editor of the Digital Puritan Press, in his excerpt for the Digital Puritan Quarterly Magazine, Volume 3, Book 4, in Chapter 3, or the third book in Book 4, Chastisement for Sin, he says of Bolton, quote, Samuel Bolton was a member of the Westminster Assembly and pastored three parishes in London before eventually becoming Vice Chancellor of Cambridge University. What follows is taken from The True Bounds of Christian Freedom, a book written as a polemic against antinomianism. That means against the law or anti-law. As such, it reveals the role of the law in the life of faith. Close quote. I'd like to read you a portion from that book. If you've listened to it already, you'll be hearing it again. If you haven't listened to it, this is coming from Chapter 2, The Moral Law as a Rule of Obedience. In the query number one, or the question, the first question addressed is, are Christians freed from the moral law as a rule of obedience? In answer to this query, quote, as it is propounded, we must confess that we are not without some places of Scripture which declare the law to be abrogated, nor without some again that speak of it as yet in force. We will give you a taste of some of them, and shall begin with those that seem to speak of the abrogation of the law. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 33. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here's another scripture, Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That the apostle here speaks of the moral law is evident from the seventh verse, and that believers are freed from it. And see the sixth verse and others. And see also Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And Galatians 3:19. That was Galatians 3:19, by the way. The law was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 5:18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Romans 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 10. The law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, etc. Well, there seems, therefore, to be a great deal of strength in the Scripture to prove the abrogation of the law, that we are dead to the law, freed from the law, or no more under the law. These scriptures we shall have to deal with afterwards. For the present, I only quote them to let it be seen with what strength the scriptures seem to hold out for the first opinion, and that is for the abrogation of the law. On the other hand, there are some scriptures which seem to hold up the law, and which say that the law is still in force. I say some which seem to support the obligation, as the others the abrogation of it. Thus, there is Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And this seems contrary to the former. The verses previously given seem to speak of the abrogation, and this of the establishment, the obligation of the law. And so also Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And I've read this once already, and I'm going to read it again. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Upon these varieties of texts, men have grounded their verities or varieties of opinion for the abrogation of or the obligation of the law. And there is no question but that the Scripture speaks truth in both. They are the words of truth. And though they seem here to be as the accusers of Christ, never a one speaking like the other, yet if we are able to find out the meaning, we shall find them like Nathan and Bathsheba. both speaking the same things. Close quote. And again, for those of you who might be listening on YouTube, I'll leave it to you to go to my website, which is www.sermonaudio.com/digitalpuritan, to listen to the chapter, to get the entire chapter. And also, again, as I mentioned before, the entire book has been narrated for your consumption as well. That is, as to continue reading the chapter in this sitting here and giving the sermon will be cumbersome to the point that I am attempting to convey, again, in the sermon here preached. The point being here is that the moral law is indeed still in force, is exemplified in the giving of the two tables of the law, or the Ten Commandments. And more on this when I expound on John 14:15 later in the sermon. Moving on into the second book of Moses, the book of Exodus, in chapter 20, we read, and I'm going to read the Ten Commandments right here to establish more ground for the sermon. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And I would ask, I'd stop there for a minute and ask for you to look up in the dictionary what vain is and what vanity is. Preferably, I would have you look in the Webster's 1828 or 1913 editions to get the true breakdown of what the word means. Because God only knows what the latter-day dictionaries have done to it. Continuing in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And again, I'll take a moment to mention again, just like marriage, the Sabbath day is a creation ordinance. A creation ordinance. It was also God's secret will that the Sabbath day came to Moses as God's secret will before the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, depending upon the part of the world you're in. Continuing in verse 12, fifth commandment. Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. In this instance, thou shalt not commit murder. And there are plenty of sermons available out there that break that down, because soldiers who follow the commands of those that are placed above them If they didn't follow their commands to kill the enemy, they would be violating that fifth commandment, which is to honor your mother and father, or any of those who are appointed over you. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Plainly spoken, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Okay? These commandments are not arbitrary. They're not arbitrary. God did not give these commandments as a means of suggestion. He means what he says. There's no ambiguity in these Ten Commandments. They are straightforward. The two tables of the law are not a wish list for God's people to pick and choose from as to what to obey and what to ignore. They are complete and perfect. They are not open to interpretation, and no one on earth has the authority to set this commandment here, and drop this other commandment there at their whim. They are the orders of the Lord our God for us to obey. Now the next section of scripture I want to expound upon is John chapter 14, verse 15. And I've done this on social media quite a bit, on Twitter and on Facebook, but I've never really done it in a sermon before, that I can remember anyway. So, I'm going to actually read the verse again in the context, to set the context for what John 14, 15 embodies. Okay? And then to further connect between the verse in John and then the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20, I'll begin at John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Well, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, or truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And here we go, getting to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, meaning the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. That was John verses four, chapter 14, verse 17. And now I'm going to continue on in verse 20, to read verse 20 and 21. To set up that Jesus Christ is the same as God the Father. And that there's no way that the Lord Jesus Christ would ever have said, and didn't even imply, that the law was to go away, was to not be enforced anymore. That is the moral law. John chapter 14, verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, with regard to the commandments that the Lord spoke of, John chapter 14, verse 15, are in the second table of the law, that is commandments 5 through 10. Okay, those of you who are still have your Bibles open, please turn to Matthew chapter 19. And even for those of you who are listening along on the radio, if you have your Bibles, open them up. If you don't have them, go get them and open them up. Because it's important that you make the connection to what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, as far as if you love him to keep his commandments. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy mother and thy father, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Okay, there's the first instance right there, the rich man. Okay. Next, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Beginning in verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Okay? So you got Matthew, and then you got Mark. Now we go to Luke. Luke chapter 10. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou, or how do you read the law? And the lawyer answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. So you see in three of the four Gospels, Synoptic Gospels, we have this example right there, second table of the law. The first four commandments are how to love God. I hope to be doing that one next Sabbath day. But there you see it right there, plain as day. The law that is the moral law is indeed still applicable to the Church of Jesus Christ in this day. And I'm not saying the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints either. I'm talking about the visible Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The invisible Church already knows this. They love the law. They love the law, like in Psalm 1:1. That I also hope to touch on next week. I'm going to finish this portion of the sermon repeating some scripture from earlier on. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Again, that's covered in the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. And this is the first and great commandment. Because the Lord Jesus only gives two. Always two. But there is a background to those two commandments. And it always, since the Lord Jesus is the Son of the Father, He's the same as His Father. He takes you right back to those Ten Commandments. Which the modern day church just rejects through their antinomianism. And their Arminianism. Claiming that grace and law are totally separate. This Marcionian dualism, this Gnosticism, it's just not true. Christianity is completed Judaism. There was never a separation. Never. And this, what I'm saying now, is not in the notes, but I wanted to, the Holy Spirit has given it to me to give to you. It's plain and simple, folks. Any religion that claims to be Christianity that is absent of the law of Moses is a different religion altogether indeed. Lord Jesus Christ didn't preach it. The apostles didn't preach it. So why should you believe it? Because Rome says so? I don't think so. And the second commandment is like unto it, that first great commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The law is something that should be adored by the Christian, loved and cherished. Like I said before in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. For the law is the word of God Himself. How is it that a person can call themselves a Christian and be yet an antinomian and deliberately hate God's law? A brother of the Lord, Captain Jake Lawrence, an Army chaplain, said in his sermon on Exodus 20 last weekend about loving God and who does not love Him. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. But he essentially said, if you claim to love God and yet ignore His commandments, you really hate Him. And hate being the opposite of love. The direct opposite. Hate does not mean love less. It means hate. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the opposite of this would be, how can you love me if you don't keep my commandments? The Apostle John speaks of how this is as well. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, that is, know him with approbation, or love, as Arthur Pink defines it. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. A liar. And the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily, truthfully, is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Next week, Lord willing, as I've said before, I want to continue on this very vein and discuss how we as Christians should love God's law and not count it as being a burden or being burdensome. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for thy law. It shows us that you love us and desire that we should be like unto you in all our ways. I'm grateful for the time you gave us today, for me to be able to preach the word by your grace, and for those who are listening to be able to hear it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.